All right. It's the Susan Harmon Experience.
Woohoo! She is rocking and a rolling.
We're what speaking of Phoenix. We're rising like a
we're
phoenix
rising from
the ashes,
right?
For the rest of this hour.
So this was a new experience that we're doing here, trying to change how we're doing things, and I think that I think we're getting it in hand. I think it's going to work out really, really great. So I kind of thought, woohoo, something to celebrate. She, Susan Harmon Experience, beginning today. It's still the old energy from the Susan Harmon Hour, but we've just we're Susan Harmon 2.0 or something, right? I don't know how to do this. Is that it? So today, some very, very, very old, very dear friends of mine I've known for decades, Andromeda and Phoenix, they're in Santa Fe, New Mexico. The three of us are going to be doing a workshop the first weekend in June here in Arizona. We're going to do it over in Sun City. And we're pretty excited about this, the magic of the shaman's wand. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about life experiences, what makes change in our life, being tied to the land, all kinds of things that I think will be of great interest to our audience. But before we get started with that, I just wanted to bring up a couple of important points astrologically. I'm not even going to go into Donald Jr. and any of the political stuff that's happening right now. I think we need a break from that for a little bit, right? Because it's something every day.
There's a lot of juicy stuff to talk about.
There's a lot of juicy stuff out there, but I think we're going to have a full show in terms of people and land and all of this, and we don't need to go into that. And I'll tell you why. Because Venus is going to enter Taurus on May the 20th, and Uranus just entered Taurus this week on Tuesday, and it'll be in Taurus till 2026. Another thing that people have been ignoring is that Neptune is in its home place of Pisces, and it's going to be there till 2026. And this is a transit that only happens every 165 years. This is a major thing. A lot of people are ignoring the Neptune thing because of Uranus going into Taurus ruled by Venus, which is really important. But Chiron is going to be in Aries till 2027, and that's huge also. So all of these things happening, I believe, are happening because it's giving us this opportunity to break up old systems, to change things, to remember our roots, which we're going to get into in the show really strongly, but to remember our roots, remember who we are, remember that we are children of the land, that this is our mother, among many other things. The great feminine is more than just a mother. She has many, many aspects. And we're going to talk about that. I want to say hello now and have them say hello back to me, my very, very dear friends, Phoenix and Andromeda.
Hello, hi, Susan.
How are you doing? Hi, Phoenix. What's up, hon?
Well, we're excited about being on the show with you. Excited about the workshop and what it means to help people remember their connection to this earth as possibly one of the most important relationships they could have.
I totally agree. And Andromeda, how about you?
Well, hi, Susan. I'm glad to be with you initiating your Susan Harmon Experience. That's very nice. And
I do want to share with the audience that was you guys' idea. You're the ones that came up with it. So I want to thank you. I think it's appropriate that the first day we have the Susan Harmon Experience, I have the people who actually came up with it, Phoenix and Andromeda.
Right.
So see how all these connections work together?
And bringing the feminine in with She Radio.
Yes, exactly. Woohoo!
So it turns out that this new moon in Taurus is it brings a perfect timing and cycle to do this workshop and guide people back to their connection with the earth.
Absolutely. It's been 13 years since I've done a batch of holy water. For those of you in the audience who don't know, I have gathered water from almost 300 places around the planet, sacred spots. And this started back in 1991 with Andromeda and two other women besides myself and Andromeda, Cherokee and Barbara, who have both passed since then. But we brought water. I took water from the desert in Arizona. Cherokee brought water from a spring in the mountains in Santa Fe. Andromeda brought water from a current that comes through on the Pacific coast. And Barbara brought water from a current that comes through on the Atlantic. And that was the basis of the holy water that I've been activating all these years. And this is the first batch that is now brewing in the pyramid as we speak and will come out right after the full moon.
Wonderful. Yeah.
So that we're going to use the water in the workshop too, because we want to bring in all the elements, earth, fire, water, and the other one.
Breathe it.
Oh, breathe, right. Yes,
well, one of the things that I think your water can play a big role in, plus it being in the pyramid, is when everyone shows up for this workshop and they will be choosing items for their wands. They will be bringing perhaps things they've already got. But we want to have everyone in group dynamic empower all the objects. And we would like to propose that they are all placed, in a sense, individually inside the pyramid for the Friday night before they come back on Saturday. And it's occurred to me that they would take only their wand home so that they could sleep with that.
Correct.
But to use these elements and really the spiritual power to endow the person's personality and their energy, the elements that they're choosing, and the environment that you've created there.
Yeah, and I think it's important for the audience to know we have limited this June 1st through June 3rd to a maximum of 10 people. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a very intimate group. 10 is actually kind of pushing the limit of, you know, what we can effectively do in a weekend.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a bit of a stretch, but easier than 20.
Oh,
And way more personal and intimate, because with between the three of us, we can help coalesce this group field energy and give everyone the attention that they need.
Absolutely. And you know, a lot of people may not know everything about you guys. I've known you for a long time, so I know your intimate secrets. And something happened to you in 1986, Phoenix.
It did. It was actually even shortly after that where I actually took my name. My full name is Phoenix Running Moon. My birth name is Renee. But in 1986, I was in an explosion in San Francisco, and quite a number of people died, burned to death, actually. And my body was harmed pretty badly with many hours of face surgery and spinal injuries. Most of the organs were rattled pretty bad. But the woman who was to become my wife at that time came into ICU and said, "Honey, I'm not really quite sure what to do for you, but if you do exactly as I say, you'll be okay." And she and a group of women, including a woman named Nikki Scully, who was well-known at the time, it took me 3 years to put my body back together. The doctor said I'd be in a walker in a year for the rest of my life, and that's 1986.
And you're zipping all over the place.
Pretty well. I don't fall well anymore. I heal rather well. And following that initiation, that was really my awakening experience into this realm of shamanism. Because no standard medical treatment was used whatsoever. I didn't take any painkillers.
Burns are very painful.
Mm-hmm. So then I met a beautiful medicine man named Rainbow Hawk in Sausalito, actually. And Laura and I and Rainbow Hawk really joined together as he was relaunching his entire medicine man self. He was already older, and that started my work with medicine wheels and medicine teachings. And then I met a man named Abraham Kavai, who had brought out of the temples the ancient temple-style bodywork. And that really brought my body around, because it's so multidimensional, interdimensional, the work itself. It's not just pushing flesh around.
Right, right.
So that's a kind of a synopsis of what got me from 86 to meeting Andromeda, also about 91.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I had 5 years living a life that was so different from before April 4th, 1986, because everything in my life had turned to an alternative.
Right. And shamanic healing at a level in a modern society, both the kahuna and the medicine man were being challenged by their own people to not let the information go out to the general public.
Right.
And they felt that it was their mission to bring it out to the public.
Well, so all the colors run into one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So more people could become aware with these tools that were created that helped their own people. And similarly, this workshop we're presenting, we are going to be sharing information that would be called an initiation in tribal communities. Due to the acceleration that's taking place and the need to correct things on the planet and the way humanity is going as a whole, these tools are necessary now. So rather than getting really intense about this, what we can say is the connection with the earth and learning to listen again and hear the voices of nature can rebalance and hopefully influence some of the individual people that are doing things that are very harmful.
You know, you and I talked about this earlier, too, and I was sharing this with somebody else, like yesterday, that I make wands, and I sell wands that I make. And when you guys came up with this concept of the magic of the shaman's wand workshop, I'm thinking, how much better is it to assist somebody to get them started in doing their own, to make their own personalized wand? How much better is that? I mean, it's just, it has more of a connection with them than taking, I mean, I do good work, let's face it, you know, but it's just not the same as doing it yourself, but being guided. Well, between the three of us, we've got over a century's experience. That's a lot. I mean, we, you know, we've been doing this work for decades.
Yeah,
that's true.
You know, and with the different skills, I mean, I know you're a woodworker, which is really helpful for this too. And Andromeda, you do art restoration. I mean, you know, you're an amazing artist, but you also have all of this energy that flows through you.
Right. I really started connecting with nature's elements when I moved to New Mexico in 81, and I moved to the prairie. And there are lots of rattlesnakes, coyotes, rabbits, and you know, a lot of people kill rattlesnakes out in the prairie because they have farming they're doing and they don't want their livestock killed. So there's lots of rattlesnakes to skin. And as an artist, we were painting coyote skulls and cow skulls and horse skulls and selling them. So I got used to boiling skulls, preparing them to be painted. And that's how I started to get in touch with using the actual skulls, the bones, feathers, snake skin, all these different things were placed in combination, and I started to learn about the feelings of them, and then also observing the animals on the prairie. Very important to learn from watching them. And then to go back further to my childhood, the memories of at 7 to 10 years old, going out in the woods all day long, like a mile and a half from the house, and watching the wildlife and being with them, like beavers, and taking their sticks away where they put them in the dam, and watching them go carry them back. I mean, it's so valuable to be old enough to have had the time. Like, I grew up in a suburb, and a mile and a half away, there was still this wild woods from the, you know, they hadn't developed everything yet.
Right, right. And
there's so many people today that haven't had that experience. They live in cities and they don't know how beautiful an experience and natural an experience of that is.
I know you and I were talking earlier about that I had taken children out and just lay on the grass and look up at the sky and then tell me what the clouds look like. And it took them a while to grasp the concept. You know? I mean, like, there's not four walls around you. Yeah, feel it. Smell the grass. Chew on a piece of grass, you know. Feel this stuff. I remember when my daughter was a teenager, of driving down the street and having another kid in the car and saying, look at that tree. And he go, tree? What tree? You know, the tree, you know? Don't you hear the tree singing? It's beautiful, you know? Like, tree? Oh, yeah, that thing over there. And or like saying to them, see that hawk? That hawk lives in our neighborhood. You know, we're in a city, but we had coyotes in Seattle. We have coyotes here where I live. We have hawks and owls and, you know, well, we have doves. You know, all different kinds of birds and little critters. I mean, here we've got some guy in the neighborhood that said, we need to poison the rabbits. No, we don't need to poison the rabbits.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, what's occurring to me with Andromeda's story and what you've just shared with teaching kids, really how to remember to lay down on the grass and look up at the sky, is that innocence, for the most part, is still available within each and every one of us.
Absolutely.
And even if we have been trained away from it, scared away from it, have it taken away to some extent, an aspect of this workshop, one is certainly playfulness, some darn good parenting from three parents.
Exactly.
And encouragement for that child within to come out and help this adult form make its own shaman's wand.
And frolic. You know, I'm reminded of, I just flashed into my mind, I think it was Pretty Woman,
Julia Roberts.
Yeah, Julia Roberts and Richard Gere, where she takes him out to the park and he's walking barefoot in the grass, which he'd never done. And it was just this, you could just see this, wow, yeah, this is kind of neat. This is a complete shift of consciousness. Not one of the major scenes in the movie, probably, but to me it was one of the most important scenes in that movie, was for him to understand his connection with the earth. And I mean, there's things in movies that are subtle. We talked about, too, waiting to exhale. And, you know, people think, oh, yeah, it's about these relationships, but it's about holding your breath. Because you're not breathing fully. You don't feel free enough. You're not free enough to breathe.
Yeah. One of my experiences in the Santa Fe area where we live, especially when we lived in the city, was driving up to the ski basin. You know, it would be where we're holding our breath. We're so tense and doing so many activities. And then we say, let's just go to the mountain. So we get up there. And the minute we're getting out of the car in the parking lot at the top of the ski mountain, it's like we're unified with the whole thing. It's like the mountain says, hello, I'm glad you're back. And you just feel like you're all, everything is one thing, including yourself.
Yes, and you're one with it. I know I talked about driving up to Jerome, Arizona, and all, and nothing profound, but the trees said, hello.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just the greeting from the trees, like, hi, good to see you too, you know?
Absolutely.
You know, and that connection, I know you've talked before about how important place is, that, you know, our roots get cut off and how important place is.
Yeah, an example of that for me, and you all, you too also should share your experience with this, is when I moved to Santa Fe permanently in 1987, I had an experience of coming home. I felt like it was the only place on the planet I had ever felt like I was home. And I came from Michigan, in the Detroit area, very wet, very green, sea level, lots of fresh water around. And coming here was such a departure, but I immediately could breathe deeper, not just because of the air, but because it felt like where I like to be. And I could feel the energy coming out of the ground, and it felt compatible with me. And that was the beginning of an activation for me of snapping awake and into who I really am. So that was when I also discovered crystals. It was the harmonic convergence time, 1987. And a lot of people were in Santa Fe, including you, Susan.
Yep.
That there were a lot of eventually got to be very famous people that wrote books and guided that whole awakening process. So I felt very fortunate and perfect timing that I came here then. And then I started having these experiences with crystals, which we're going to use in the wands.
Yes.
And learning how to listen to them. Like one of the big things at that time was record keepers. Look for the triangles on the faces.
Uh-huh.
That's information stored, etc. So that for me, that can happen for any person when you find that place that feels like it aligns with your essence.
Absolutely. And we talked, because you asked me, well, when did you start getting involved with crystals? I said, God, since I was a little kid, I picked up rocks. And she said, not rocks, crystals. And I'm like, well, and I told you about, I'd forgotten all about it, but I told you about when I was a little girl living in Japan, their fairy rings with clover would appear. They'd be just like a ring of clover, and we call those fairy rings. And I'd make these little villages for the fairies there. and then we moved to Arkansas. And at that time in Arkansas, both arrowheads and crystals were just laying out on the ground. You know, they were just everywhere. And so I started making the houses for the fairies out of the crystals. And interestingly enough, the fairies looked exactly the same to me in Arkansas as they had in Japan. And I make these little houses out of crystals, you know, form these little places, you know. So I was listening to the stones as a child.
Yeah.
So
much of this work in creating something like a power tool has to do with imagination. And when you're listening to nature, your imagination is involved, because maybe you listen for a moment to that bird, and you're just hearing kind of a regular bird sound. And then all of a sudden you notice maybe the other one answered like, oh, it was calling it over. You know, you start to understand there's some
communication,
nonverbal communication going on between these two things. And that you have to use your imagination to fill in the gaps. That's like when you look at clouds and they look like something to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the process of relating, because it's not a human language.
No, it's not. And that's an important thing to be aware of, you know, with the crystals. And of course, my communication with stones deepened so much over the years. I want to talk more about this. I want to talk about the elements and, you know, the favorite places where we live and how being separated from the land that you love, what the impact that has on us. But I want to talk also more about the changes and how so much of the energy that we have to clarify and change how we see things. You know, that this isn't about, you know, the magic wand that you wave kazam kazam or whatever. This is about, you know, focusing on things. And we are going to take a short break from She, the Susan Harmon Experience. We're going to take this short break, and then we're going to come back with Phoenix and Andromeda, who are two amazing human beings living in Santa Fe at the moment, but will be in Arizona in 2 weeks to do this really amazing workshop that that we're working on. And it's not even so much working as playing, you know, it's gathering the materials together and doing this. Stay tuned to She, Susan Harmon Experience on Alternative Talk Radio, KKNW.
The Magic of the Shaman's Wand Workshop, a weekend of magic, June 1st through the 3rd in Sun City, Arizona. During this three-day event, each participant will be guided by three shamanic healers with over a century combined experience and wisdom in creating a personal shaman's wand using earth elements from the mineral, plant, and animal domains. Wonder what the trees can tell you? How about the stones? During this time together, your perception will be deepened, connecting creatively in a sacred space, reaching rarely explored aspects of self, all the time working alchemically with Gaia, using the four elements of water, earth, fire, and air in four directions and the four seasons. Everything you do won't just expand and enhance your awareness, but will also make magic a part of your very being. And more importantly, you'll have created your very own shamanic wand in which earth magic and your own personal energies are intertwined for you to use in your own healing work. Visit quantumsoulretrieval.com.
Susan Harmon is offering her skills as an intuitive counselor, medium, and energy healer via phone or Skype with her audience at a reduced rate of $40 for the first half hour. Susan listens to your guidance and gives what is needed for you in the present moment. Email Susan at SusanHarmon.com and put "I love the Susan Harmon Hour" in the subject line. This is a limited time offer, so set up your appointment by emailing Susan at SusanHarmon.com today.
I'm Gary Mance.
And I'm Suzanne Mitchell.
Fridays and Saturdays at 10 a.m., Mance and Mitchell get up close and personal with authors, experts, and celebrities discussing everything from pop culture to the paranormal with a dash of politics on the side.
We also share spiritual insights from around the world in ways that shine a light on issues that matter most to you.
Light up your life with a little help from your friends.
Bringing you fascinating talk since 2007, we are Mance and Mitchell, Friday and Saturday mornings at 10 on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The following audio is via a Skype call.
No other station delivers this much variety. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to She, Susan Harmon Experience. Great music, Eric. You always come up with the right thing. Phoenix and Andromeda have joined me here today. We've been talking about the January 1 through 3 workshop, The Magic of the Shaman's Wand, that we will be doing in Sun City, Arizona. It is limited to 10 people, so if this is of interest to you, you need to sign up as soon as possible. Can you give them the website for that, Phoenix?
Yes, it's quantumsoulretrieval.com.
Quantumsoulretrieval.com. Mm-hmm. Very good. And it's a very good site anyway. And we were talking about how, you know, the kahuna training is a really good aspect of what we're doing. And we were also mentioning about the art and the craft is a way of, those are vehicles, those are tools to create the magic.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. As we were waiting to come back on, we spoke for a moment. The process of this kind of work, and really probably almost any kind of shamanic modality, is about helping people remember.
Right.
Now, if they've got any age under their belt, they've got a lot of remembering to do. From some of the native work that I've done, obviously the root of the word remember is to remember.
Put yourself back together.
Put yourself back together again.
Right.
Because the old people understood that over time and wear and tear, we get broken at a spiritual and soul level. And so
can be exhausting in this dimension. It can.
Oh, heavens, yes. and as you're mentioning, we will, you know, we will bring these Huna principles with us and share with everyone. You know, everyone knows the word aloha.
They
probably don't know that its translation is to love is to be happy with.
Huh. No, most people say it means hello and goodbye.
Right. And the word makia, energy flows where attention goes. Now, these are just a few of these principles. They have little sense of humor if they're practiced well, especially something like makia. Because if energy flows where attention goes, and a person were to actually spend an hour literally journaling, where is their attention and where is it going? They might not be surprised as to why things may not be going so well in their life.
Right.
So when we make these, when we make these wands that we've all made, the three of us, and we facilitate that process coming up, then we will help people understand energy flows where attention goes.
Right.
So we will help them with the pieces that they bring. We will, between the three of us, have a lot of interesting supplies.
Oh, some amazing things to go on the wall, too.
And so in the process of doing something like this workshop, the person will undoubtedly get to know themselves a little bit better. It might not even be comfortable at times. But the group dynamic and the stewardship that the three of us hold to protect the space, the energy, the dimensions, is how these people can actually start to remember again.
And that's a really important part, making that connection. When your conscious mind and your unconscious mind are communicating clearly with each other, an open, transparent communication, it shifts everything.
That's true.
Also, the energy of the group and all of us as guides, these principles, there's seven of them, when they all come into play, it shifts the dimension out of all the programming somebody has from society into where... Let me just give you more examples of these principles. EK, the world is what you think it is. When you move into that space, okay, I'm going to create a wand. I'm going to do it how I want to do it. I'm going to get my animal and the other elements lined up. It's going to be what I want. That's all a person has to say to get past any fear or insecurity. And then there are other ones that guide you, like all power comes from within. So you're not looking outside yourself for what you need for this wand. You'll find the power within yourself. And the guidance is to help empower the person, not for us to tell them how to make it. And that's really important. Otherwise, it isn't going to be their wand.
Right.
They won't be able to use it. So we're working with energy. That's what this wand is about. It's about energy and vibration. And we'll be using our voices. I want to lead an exercise in this particular, even though, Susan, you're an awesome toner.
Thank you very much.
I want to lead people who haven't used their voice that way into vibrating their own body and then vibrating the stones and the elements on the wand with their voice.
I think that's excellent because, honestly, it's not anything I do intentionally, but I can be overpowering. And not because I'm like, I'm trying to be, you know, not because I'm like, I want to be in charge thing. It's just the way the energy comes through me, you know.
Right.
And I think it's better for having, you know, you doing that piece of it than people going, oh, I can't make those sounds.
Right.
You know?
Practiced.
Yeah, I've been doing it a long time. And the truth is, it took a long time for it to come out the way it is now. When the sounds first started coming into me, they were these long, I don't know if you remember that, they were long whistling sounds. It was in Santa Fe. And I'd go, I can't do it now, but this long whistling sound, and my husband, Walter, would go, incoming. The editor is doing, you know.
We all broke a lot of ground in the 80s, you know, because everybody was waking up and there weren't any rules, really.
No, we were so old. You know, Cherokee said this one time, oh, gosh, about just a few years before she passed. And she said, you know, I wish I was the way I was then when I didn't think anything couldn't happen. I mean, I just was totally, everything could happen, and it did, you know?
Exactly. Like, the world is what you think it is.
Yeah, we were like, oh, let's try this. Woo, that worked, you know?
Something that occurs to me, the one that I've shown you that we actually brought to Arizona when we came to visit.
Yes.
Saying to Andromeda earlier, and this is true for some other objects that I've made, and I'll even bring one. I would not place my wand in someone else's hand without extreme consideration, because it's my energy.
Yes.
If I forget myself and I can find my wand, it will help me because of the process it took for me to endow it with my sense of spirit. And that's one of the functions of these wands.
Yes.
And so they're not to be trifled with or handed to just anybody.
They're not toys.
They're not toys, not at all.
See, I've had that same kind of thing with my pyramid. I had a guy thought, well, it's okay if I sleep in your pyramid. I said, oh, well, you could. I wouldn't advise it. It's not designed for people to sleep in it. You know, it's a healing tool.
Right.
You know? And they look at you blankly. Well, couldn't I just get a lot of energy if I did that? I'm like, I don't know that if this is a good idea.
You know? Uh-huh. Exactly. It's kind of like, you know, there's a limit to how many strangers we allow in our house.
Correct.
That's also true using the body as the metaphor of the house. We don't let indiscriminate energy into our bodies if we can help it.
Right, right.
And the wand can help. It can be a protector. It could also be a reminder when something isn't feeling right and you're not really sure why. Well, I really probably shouldn't have had that conversation with that person. You know, because now you got to go take a bath.
But that's okay, because the bath is good. So, I mean, everything that happens, happens for a reason, right? I mean, we don't know always what the reason is. And sometimes it's like, oh, yeah, well, that's the way that was. But I learned something. You know, sometimes I had a friend years ago who used to say, I just exist here to make other people look good. You know, and she was saying it jokingly, you know, but there is sometimes I'm saying sometimes the lessons that people are teaching you are the things not to do.
Exactly. Yeah. There's one of the teachings that Hawk would share. It also had to do with a particular level of training within the teachings that wasn't available publicly. But it simply states no excuse. Victory. And that's an intense place to be, because it takes it down to something simple. Learn from everything or you fail.
Right. And part of that, I think, in my opinion, part of that is detachment. Mm-hmm. Don't be attached to the outcome of whatever. Be in the process without an attachment to the outcome. And you don't have to control it. You can allow it to be. You can allow yourself to be in the flow with it so that whatever happens, it is going to be beneficial for you, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, without controlling the outcome. And that's really hard for people to do because, you know, you talked about this, Andromeda, so many times about, you know, what we're taught and how we're conditioned. What was the phrase you used? It was such a good thing about conditional. You know, the conditioning and it's systemic conditionalism, whatever.
Programming or?
The programming. You were talking about the programming and how.
Well, the conditioning that people have has, as we've gone more into technology, like my son, for example, he would be called a millennial. When he was a child, he didn't like going outside. He wanted to play his Game Boy. And we were out on 25 acres, and I'm like, why don't you want to go outside? I don't get it.
Up in Pecos, right?
Yeah.
It was so gorgeous.
And now people are living through their phones. You know, even older people. We met a couple
the other day. Everybody's on their phone.
I know. Older couple, we go to meet for an art restoration project, and they're both sitting there on their phones at the table waiting for us, you know, and I'm like, wow, this is so crazy.
Why aren't you sitting there speaking with each other?
Yeah, or just waiting, you know, but people don't do that anymore. So what I'm saying is the conditioning that is happening now is not, the nature is not emphasized.
Right.
People used to take vacations, and all they could think about is the most beautiful places in the country to go for their vacation. And I know there's still people doing that.
There are
many people around the world that are living a virtual reality. And I think that most indigenous people would say that that connection with the earth that is in their traditions is extremely important.
You know, go ahead.
Another point I want to make is that when you live on the land and you have to subsist off of it, you respect all of the parts.
Yes.
Because if you destroy them, you will destroy yourself.
Yes.
And it's important, no matter how far we evolve in technology, that we remember that. I know personally, because I can hear nature and I can interact with it, that it's a precious relationship. I don't want to see this beautiful creation destroyed or ignored.
No, no.
I want more generations to experience it.
You know, we talked about, you know, the forced removal of people from where they were and put into another place. Some of Walter's ancestors took what they call took the long walk, you know, from Georgia and all. They were Cherokee and Delaware. And that was years of going the long walk to Oklahoma, completely different land. You can't take those things that you know about the land with you if the land is different. And you talked about that earlier, and how you yourself were living in a place that for whatever reasons you had to move from, and the woman that owned the said, well, it's just a place.
Right.
And you had such attachment to the water and the trees and the rock. I mean, the whole thing.
Oh, it was like being torn in half to leave that property. It was horrible because it was a big enough piece of property that you really got to know every tree and bush and the stream and the hill and the cave. You know, everything that was on that property became an extension of who we were.
Right.
And I think that's how it's supposed to be, because everything actually is one unified thing.
That's right. But when you take a whole people and you move all of them to something foreign to them, it has a huge impact.
One of the things that we could take note of is the Native Americans. One of their beliefs is that all the five races on the planet have a role to play in sustaining humanity and teaching humanity. And the Native Americans on this continent, their responsibility is to teach how to care for the earth.
Correct.
So taking their culture and destroying it is a really bad idea, because their role is to teach us what they learned.
And that a lot of that's lost. I look at my own son-in-law, who's Chippewa, and he was sent to. I know everyone likes to think it just happened in the 19th century, but no, he was in boarding school where they were abused and cut off from learning anything from the elders in their community.
Right.
So an oral tradition where things are handed down generation to generation, when you cut that, you really effectively destroy that culture.
Right. And thankfully, it's not being destroyed, because there are a lot of people in this area bringing these cultures back. They're putting money into it to bring the language back.
Correct. Correct. And it's happening all over. I was at the Comanche Nation Fair last September, and had a gentleman who was teaching the kids how to make a bow. what woods the Comanches used. And then Sonny Navacoya, whose father was Doc Tate Navacoya, who was not only played the pipe, but he was an incredible artist. And so is Sonny. And Sonny was talking about how his father said the bravado in the flute is built into the flute. It's not something the player does. It's built into the instrument itself, the way the Comanche make their flute.
Right.
Those things, there are people that are like, okay, my father showed me to do this. I'm going to remember how to do it and try to teach some of the younger people.
Now, this is technology.
Yes. Isn't it?
So what happened in the 80s, in the harmonic conversion time, and even in the 60s, is I believe that these traditions were coming back through a spiritual channel.
Yes.
And the awakening that happened that we were part of, Susan, we were both here in Santa Fe at the same time.
We were.
We're bringing these ways back. We're bringing the connections back. We were somehow transmitted this energy. A lot, all over the planet this happened. And we are going to become one human family, not separate tribes anymore, not even natives sticking to their traditions. We're all going to come back if we want to enter that consciousness. We can learn these ways again and reconnect with the earth. And that's what this workshop is about.
It is. It's definitely.
Those of us who can hold this energy and knowledge need to counter the destructive things that are going on here. And hopefully, eventually, one of us will talk to those people.
That's the idea. I've actually been thinking, you know, that it would be really cool if we did this in Chicago.
Absolutely.
You know, that's a place where it just, you know, it's kind of calling to me. You're like, well, it definitely needs this. L.A., we need to be in L.A. and San Diego and, you know, a variety. And Santa Fe.
Right.
Absolutely. I actually saw that the other day because we've abstained from Santa Fe for so many years now. But because of this workshop and the three of us and the energy and how far it's come in its own development, all of a sudden Santa Fe felt possible again.
Yeah. Santa Fe is its own unique place. That's a whole show in itself, talking about Santa Fe.
Yeah.
We've got about 5 minutes left, about four or five. And I want to make sure that anything that you guys think is super important to share with the audience gets in before we're out of time. We've covered a lot of territory, but there's always something.
So for people who, from hearing this and go to the website, and possibly, you know, send in some comments from the website or the Facebook or call me.
The phone number?
505-469-6896.
And that's on the website too, folks, if you can't remember that. Yeah.
I've learned to trust when I'm walking through the woods and I see a piece of wood and it just talks to me, I pay attention.
Yes.
And if this is unfamiliar to somebody but they really want to do it, then aside from the materials that we will all have there, any place they can go out, one, to find their stick, because they must. After that, pay attention to other things that show up. If you don't have something already in your home, start feeling into, start imagining, start dreaming.
Right.
And understand you're not making a giant club.
Well, we talked about the art and the craft are just the tools to create magic. And I just wanted to quickly mention one of the people whose attendees said she was going to drive up to Sedona to get her stick. And then later she walked out the door and there was a stick laying right there. And she said, that's it.
Very true.
So, yeah. So, you know, magic can show up on your front doorstep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can just pop into your home. I mean, it's the world abounds with magic if you're open to it. Remember in the Field of Dreams when the brother says, when did the baseball players get here? And they'd been there. You know, when did the baseball players get here? He just wasn't ready to see them until a certain point.
Right, right.
You know, and I'm thinking, well, I think more and more people are ready for the magic. They're ready to make this happen in their lives.
We agree.
Well, guys, it has been quite a thing. And I know that we've talked about places that were favorite of ours and the four elements. We didn't really get into that as much as I'd like to, but we did talk briefly about those, all those things, the four directions, all this stuff we'll be covering in the workshop, but they're all things that are tools, because the magic is the fundamental piece of what's going on. There's just ways to make it happen. And there are some skills in putting things together. I mean, we can show you how you widen the hole to get something in, how you attach things, all of that little stuff. You're like, well, how do I get this crystal on here?
Exactly. Yeah. So it stays.
So it stays. It doesn't just fall apart, mm-hmm. And that's an important piece of it. I so look forward to seeing you guys again in a couple of weeks. I'm very excited about this. This is going to be absolutely a wonderful event. And I want to share with the audience that next week, I had some magic happen in my own life. I got an email from a woman named Katia Ahmet. She works with Healing Sound. And she sent me this email. And my friend Misty Upham, who has passed, had been coming to me spiritually for a couple of days before I received this email. So I spoke with this woman, and she's going to be my guest next week. And we are going to, it's interesting, what I was going to do fell apart, and boom, here was this. So those things always happen the way they're supposed to happen, even if we don't realize that. But she is going to be in Standing Rock. There's a Standing Rock Medicine Wheel Living Park at the summer solstice. So there's a lot going on with that. You can look that up if you're interested in learning more about it, or you can just tune in next week and see what we have to say about it. But until then, remember, there's one thing that you need to do, and that, my friends, is to keep on dancing.